You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Ben Mezrich has become known for his distinct style in which he recounts truth can be stranger than fiction stories of overnight billionaires and get-rich schemes. His latest book, Straight Flush, the true story of six college friends who dealt their way to a billion-dollar online poker empire and how it all came crashing down, describes how a group of Montana country boys built AbsolutePoker.com. It made them rich, but it also landed one of them in jail and led another to go on the run as a fugitive from the United States government. The book is published by William Morrow, and I'm pleased that it brings Ben Mezrich back to our show today. Hello.
Hey, thanks so much.
Quite a contrast to your bestseller about the creation of Facebook. As far as I know, Mark Zuckerberg has never had to escape any...
No, he's not a fugitive. We know where Mark is.
So how did this group of University of Montana fraternity brothers get the idea to start an online poker business?
Well, these were, you know, a bunch of frat boys in Montana who used to play poker in the basement of a local bar. In Montana, it's legal to have a poker table, basically. And it was one table, and they would play at it every night. And they thought, you know, this was 1999, the dawn of the internet, kind of.
Had the social media craze even taken
off
at this
point?
There
was really nothing. I mean, you know, that was a time when you were still nervous to put your credit card on the internet. It was a much calmer time, I think. There wasn't a lot going on. There was one other poker site. It was called Paradise Poker, but there was barely anybody using it. And so these guys were one of the first innovators. They decided to try and put poker online.
And how did they see themselves making a profit?
Well, you know, with poker, every hand that's played, the casino usually takes a rake. And so there's a percentage of every hand that goes to the casino. So if you could get hundreds of tables playing at the same time, you could, you know, just print money, basically. And that was the idea.
Although gambling is still illegal in most of the United States.
Well, online poker was one of those things which is very gray area. Nobody could tell them whether it was legal or not. When they started, and this is pre-2006, there was no clear law. There was a Wire Act from the 60s, which was really aimed at sports betting. But poker is more a game of skill. No one's ever really decided that poker is actually, you know, like the lottery, for instance, which is legal everywhere. Poker is not something that was ever explicitly called illegal.
Although lotteries are run by governments,
right.
So they can make their own rules.
Right, and they get taxes and they get revenues and they're regulated. So they did launch offshore for that very reason. No one could tell them whether it was legal or not in the U.S., so they launched out of the country.
They went into Costa Rica.
They went to Costa Rica, which was pretty lawless. It was a bunch of college kids in living in the Wild West, basically. They moved their fraternity to Costa Rica. They were right down the street from a brothel, and it was that kind of a setting where they built this company.
And Costa Rica just looks the other way, or does it?
Well, no, they
is
take,
gambling
Costa
legal
Rica,
in Costa Rica?
It's legal in Costa Rica, and a lot of the infrastructure is there. So there are sports books that would be illegal here are run out of Costa Rica, and there was already online gambling there. And so that's why they chose it. First of all, they found a brochure which showed jungles and girls in bikinis, and that was their first reason. And the second reason was it was, you know, something that was part of the economic culture there.
Are most online gambling sites based offshore?
All of them are, except for one right now. There's the first legal online poker site just launched in Nevada. It's now legal in the state of Nevada and the state of
New Jersey. But Nevada is offshore.
Nevada is its own little principality, I guess. But all of them are offshore, either on islands or some are in the UK, some are in Canada, but yeah, not here.
How long did it take for Absolute Poker to evolve from an idea to a multimillion-dollar business?
Well, they had a lot of pitfalls along the way. Costa Rica is a place where the internet just goes down every couple of hours, so they had to build through that. It was in 2006 when the U.S. government did pass a law that essentially made it illegal that they started to make real money because everyone else fled the market. They stayed in the market, and they became a million-dollar-a-day business.
Well, if they hadn't had their problems later, mm-hmm. would you have even have pursued this story?
Not at all. I mean, I'm intrigued by the laws that were passed that to me seem very hypocritical that suddenly turned this industry upside down. It went from a $15 billion industry to almost zero overnight. So I was intrigued by this fall. And also the idea of they stayed in the industry even though they knew they were taking these huge risks. That kind of turned me onto the story too.
They're all now in their late 20s.
Early 30s, late 20s, yeah.
Where are they living? Was it easy to contact them?
One is trapped in Antigua. He can't set foot off the island of Antigua. He's facing an indictment that could be many years in prison. His younger brother, who was sort of the fall guy, he turned himself in and is doing 14 months in a federal prison in Colorado. The others are in Panama, Costa Rica. One or two, are back in the U.S. and aren't facing the legal issues.
You've written a number of books about fresh out of college entrepreneurs who start with an idea and then turn it into a billion-dollar venture, social media tycoons, blackjack card counters, oil men. Is there something that the self-made billionaires have in common?
I think the first thing is that they're willing to take risks that others of us aren't. I mean, I'm pretty much neurotic and scared of everything in life, and I love following these guys who are just willing to do really dangerous things. These guys were facing, jail, but they were willing to keep trying because they felt like they were on the verge of becoming these billionaires. So, yeah.
What was the first sign of trouble for Absolute Poker?
Well, in 2006, two senators, Bill Frist and John Kyle, attached a bill to a terrorism port bill. So that's how it slipped through, basically saying that the movement of money into an online gaming site would be illegal.
Well, they are very conservative Republicans.
Yes, and it was a moral anti-gambling thing. They couldn't go after, casinos because casinos are too powerful. They couldn't go after horse racing in New York because it's powerful, or football or anything like that. So they went after online gaming.
Well, how did Absolute Poker manage to stay in business while many other competing sites, including Party Poker, one of the largest sites at the time, go out of business or at least were pretty much ruined by the act?
They moved out of the U.S. So Party Poker was a public company. They had IPO'd at $13 billion. Absolute Poker was about to IPO for the billions. Instead, they couldn't IPO. So the reason they could stay in business is they weren't a public company. They didn't have, this mass of voting shareholders that could tell them what to do. They stayed offshore. They told everyone in the company, you can no longer set foot in the United States. And they kept going. They thought that the U.S. wouldn't go so far as to go after them overseas.
My guest is Ben Mezrich, who has published 12 books, including The Accidental Billionaires, which was adapted into the film The Social Network, also Bringing Down the House, which has sold more than 1.5 million copies in 12 languages. His latest is Straight Flush, the true story of six college friends who dealt their way to a billion-dollar online poker empire and how it all came crashing down. Scott Tom, one of the founders of Absolute Poker, was implicated in a cheating scandal that involved stealing $800,000 from players on the site. Can you tell us what happened?
Sure. It's sort of known as the super user scandal. Basically, a bunch of players saw that one online poker player kept winning and was playing in a way that you'd only play if you knew what other people's cards were. It turned out that someone on the inside of the company could see other people's cards. It was a flaw in the system that he uncovered and was using to steal about $800,000. And that was the first big cheating scandal at Absolute Poker.
But it wasn't Scott Tom.
Well, it came from an IP address that was linked to Scott Tom's home. Scott and the people on the inside investigated and said that it was a good friend of him who was working out of his house. It's one of those things that's always going to be a bit mysterious. No one was ever prosecuted for it. Scott left the company shortly after that. And they actually paid back the $800,000 to the players.
I'd imagine that trust is an important part of the online poker industry. Was the money the real issue, or was it trust that received so much attention on the online poker blogs and
other
media?
Yeah, I mean, it was a disaster for them at the time because, the whole thing is you put your credit card down and you're trusting them to deal a fair game because, you don't know whether they're just going to give you cards that make you lose. And the other thing about playing any gambling game is whenever you lose, you always think someone was cheating. I don't know anyone who ever walked out of a casino and didn't think the casino was cheating. And so, they have to keep a level of trust. And this was a big blow. There was a second cheating scandal that ended up being over many years at Ultimate Bet, which was another of the big sites that these guys ended up owning.
They bought it after the scandal?
They bought Ultimate Bet and then discovered as they were going through it that there had been a cheating scandal, for 5 years going on at that company.
And how did that scandal work?
Well, it was a similar thing. There were two players, essentially, who could see everybody's cards. And had made almost $20 million using it.
And that was kept pretty much under wraps.
As long as they could, because, as soon as that came out, it was a massive blow to the entire industry, and that one's still unraveling today.
And then we come to April 15th, 2011, which came to be known as Black Friday.
Black Friday, that's what they call it. Department of Justice and the State of New York Prosecuting Office basically shut down online poker. They raided all of the sites. They froze all of the pages. And everyone's money disappeared. All the player money was frozen. It was Party Poker. I mean, sorry, PokerStars.com, Full Tilt Poker, and Absolute Poker. So these were the three companies that were brought down by this. And it was about $150 million in player money that essentially vanished.
In your opinion, were the indictments justified?
No, I personally think it's completely hypocritical that you can line up for Powerball tickets, but you can't play online poker. I don't feel that there's any real reason why online poker, it should be regulated, there should be taxation, there should be laws about how old you can be. But you know, these guys wanted to be regulated. In countries where it was legal, they were regulated, they paid taxes, and they were fine with it. I think it's a little crazy that we go after online poker, personally.
What's the state of online poker today?
Well, it's coming back now. The Department of Justice's own lawyers put out a decree that poker should be considered a game of skill, not a game of chance. And in the state of Nevada and the state of New Jersey, it is now legal. But you have to physically be in that state. There are 10 other states that are also attempting to go in that route.
So these guys are still trying to operate out of Costa Rica?
No, these guys are done. I mean, their site got shut down. The main character, he can't set foot off Antigua. So they're basically waiting and hoping that eventually the Department of Justice drops whatever it is they're doing. But the other companies that are now appearing, they're usually linked to major casinos.
Should I be sad for them? After all, they all have walked away with a lot of money,
and you know what?
These
guys, they aren't saints. There's nothing, you know, if you read the book, you'll see. We're not talking about the kids from Bringing Down the House. I mean, these are guys who got caught up in a lot of craziness with women and drugs and things like that. I don't know. The one who's in jail, I do feel sad for. I mean, he did not expect to go to jail for it. He really worked at an internet company. You know, he handled the bills. And he ended up taking the fall because his name was on everything. I feel bad for him. I do feel bad that someone is being prosecuted for something that to me seems very American, launching a company. But, you know, who knows how much money they have? That's the other thing.
Well, two of your books have been adapted into successful films. Bringing Down the House was made into 21. The Accidental Billionaires was The Social Network. Do you think Straight Flush would make a good movie?
Yeah,
well,
I think it's going to be.
Of course you do.
You know, I'm subjective on that.
I shouldn't have asked that question.
I think it's going to be a big movie. We have a lot of people now calling. It just came out yesterday, but we've been getting a lot of the big people who were involved in my other movies want to make it, so I think it'll be a good movie.
Were you involved in writing those other films?
So The Social Network, Aaron Sorkin came to Boston, and we basically sat in a hotel room. I was giving him chapters as I wrote it. The guy's a genius. You know, it was, you know, one of those, it's like winning the lottery having Sorkin write it. I'm always involved in sort of a consulting role, but I have no power.
Well, The Social Network, I'm assuming, must have upset the people at Facebook. But in the end, it probably helped them because it gave them a certain amount of cachet.
It made Mark cooler than he'd ever looked in the rest of his life combined. I feel like they were nervous and scared about it. They didn't know what I was writing or what it was going to say. They weren't thrilled with it. But then when it came out, they loved it. They embraced it in the end.
And have you found another internet group?
You know, I haven't. I'm approached by everybody. You know, everyone's like, write the Twitter story, write the, you know, and I don't really look for something like that. I'm always just looking for the drama. You know, if there's drama to the story, I'm interested.
Well, Yahoo seems to be the
there is
the
a lot
next
of drama to
story.
Yahoo. Who knows where that's going to go, though?
Straight Flush is Ben Mezrich's latest book. It's subtitled The True Story of Six College Friends Who Dealt Their Way to a $1 billion Online Poker Empire and How It All Came Crashing Down. It's published by William Morrow. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Thank you so much.